Wow, that was a fun time. You guys do good around here when it's worship time. You guys don't play. I was here, man, it was a bunch of years ago. It was a few years ago we did the, what did you used to do? The 2 o'clock service, that was it.
Yeah.
So I came on a Sunday at 2 o'clock, and I think I stood up here at 20 till 6 to preach. That's when I got up to preach, at 20 till 6. I said, that was amazing. They sang like God's Not Dead. They sang it for like eternity. Like, and it wasn't redundant. It was like, God's not dead. And Miss Tracy was, she was leading it, I think. She was just marching all around. And it was amazing. I looked around. Next thing you knew, it was 5:30. And I was like, he introduced me up there. I looked, it was 20 till 6. I thought, that was a worship service right there. Because everybody was like on their feet and flipping out the whole time. It wasn't like people were just sitting around going, when's a dude going to preach, you know? So, awesome. I still got this little pink note in my Bible. I keep saying I'm going to take it out, and I never do, and then I read it all the time. It's my wife. She wrote that for me. You know what's awesome? It's not like a YouTube fan or something. It's somebody that lives with me and knows me. Lives with me 24/7. Can I read what she wrote? Now don't hear it wrong. And don't poke your neighbor.
Uh-oh. Tracy's not here. Tracy's safe.
Hear it for yourself and know what's possible. Your life matters. Guys, your life matters. And if you keep making your life dependent on someone around you, you're going to miss the life in you. The life in you is what matters most. Are you hearing me? Can I read what she wrote to me? She stuck it in my Bible. She snuck attacked me one day. I got to a church and I opened my Bible and it was sitting there and I went, oh. She had one in my suitcase one day right on top of my clothes. It was amazing what she wrote. And it was all about my character. She said, you know, I feel like sometimes I don't commend your character. Not that I have to, but I notice it and I just want you to know. And I was like, gee, it was my wife. Not a YouTube viewer. Not somebody that watches me on YouTube and says, man, you're awesome. It's my wife. You guys know this from my wife. Hope you have the best weekend ever. You're a true man of God. And I doubt God can find many men, if any, on this earth with your integrity, character, and heart. You want a note like that from your wife. Not so you feel better, guys, because you already do. You don't need a note like that to be encouraged. You only get a note like that if you are encouraged.
Amen.
If you need a note like that, ladies, to be encouraged, you're doing it backwards. You only get a note like that when you are encouraged, because you'll live that way. Sometimes we depend on each other to be okay. He's the one that makes you okay. And then others see that you're okay. Come on. Oh, I love a note like that. Because that's from my wife. That's from my wife. Isn't that awesome? Wow. Start talking about integrity, character, and heart. I guess you can only really talk about that when you know somebody, huh? When you're with them a lot. When you see them in the midst of situations. Amen? Listen, let me just camp there for a minute. I just feel like that thing's sinking. And you guys are awesome when I come here. As this morning I talked for like 15 minutes and you guys were like, It was just fun. I said to Pastor David, I said, I felt like we got an hour worth of meat in about 15 minutes. It just, but it's your fault. It's your fault because you guys ain't like, because even if you like that, I'm bringing the gospel. Like your faces, I'm way past faces. I mean, I'd be past stones if you threw them. I really would be. I think I would be. I'm going to preach the gospel. But you guys were awesome this morning. I looked around, and last night at the cave, I saw it. I said, man, they, you know, I get people, you guys have been so gracious. You say, man, I've been watching on YouTube. Wow, thanks. Whoa. So I noticed when I go to places, there's like an honor and a respect already up front. Like people are waiting to hear what you're going to say. And like people are just sitting there waiting. It's pretty fun. And you, that's how you guys, the guys at the cave last night looked like that. I got up there. It was so sincere. They were like. And I was like, man, you guys are like easy targets. And it just felt that way this morning. So stay that way, all right? Because either way, I'm going to preach the gospel. It'll make it better for you if you stay that way. Because I'm going to preach the gospel because I love you, because I care, because they handed me a microphone. But be honest with me. We've tried to find our identity through tons of things in life, like mainly each other. You want somebody to like you because then you believe you're likable. And if for some reason they shift and change on you, you could tend to fall apart if you're putting all your confidence in them liking you. I'm just trying to give you a practical, simple thing. Like, you got to understand something. I preach it all the time, but let's not get weary with it. We're created in God's image. In the beginning, all that God was inside a man. So man was complete and full. He wasn't lonely. He didn't bring a woman because he was lonely. He brought a woman because he was complete and full. Oh. She's a, uh-oh, right in the front. Uh-oh, preach it. This morning, Joseph was cheering me from the back. I've got front row cheerleader now. No, seriously, think about it. Ephesians 3, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge is to be filled with all the fullness of God. So where do you find fullness? In the love of Christ through the Father. In God's love through His Son. That teaches me right there, I can only know myself fully through Him. And then I'm ready to have good relationship with you. No matter where you're at, I'll see you clear. Yeah? And it won't become a weird relationship like needy and codependent. And one day you're my best friend, next day we don't talk. Isn't that messed up? That's because we've been needy. So we surround ourselves with things that fit, make us feel better and get us along. We say stuff like, you mean so much to me. I just couldn't live without you. There's only one you can really say that to. And I know what we're trying to say and mean, but those kind of lines and relationships never pan out real well in the long run. Come on, it's starry-eyed Hollywood movie stuff. It's just weird. Oh, you just mean everything to me. I don't know what I'd do without you. Probably get along. Move forward. Life would go on. The sun would still come up. I hope we're okay. I feel a little gone here. I got to recover. What am I doing? I do this when I come down here. I get strange. It's Redemption House's fault. Last time I said, Tracy, what are you doing? Remember, I blamed it all on your wife. I said, are you praying for me? Quit it. Stop. No. I'm making sense, though, right? Come on. When man ate the tree, what man was lost. What man had become by God was lost. It got perverted. When he submitted to another voice, he became subservient to that voice, and he left the command. He left the image. He left his created value. Everything was lost. Like he wasn't any longer what he was. Like a minute ago, he's complete in the Father. Like he's complete. He doesn't have need and lack, and he's wanting for nothing. And the day you eat the tree is the day you surely die. That was what he was told. But he didn't fall over dead. What died? Everything he was created to be. Everything he was in the moment was lost. But it didn't die in the vision of God. It didn't die in love. It didn't die in the heart of God. God still knows who he made man to be. The potential for man is still there. There's a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. That's why love is unfailing, because love never loses sight of who you're created to be. Like God never, your biggest mistakes, your most off-track journey, God's sitting there going, you're so much more than that. You're so much more than what you understand. On your darkest day, he doesn't lose sight of who he created you to be, and the blood is speaking better things. Now, that doesn't just mean that sin's okay and we wink at it and say whatever. What it means is love never loses sight of you and your true destiny, your true identity. God sees you through that created value, and love pulls you back to his purpose. It's the whole point of Christianity, guys. Somewhere we got the idea that Christianity is all about God taking care of me and blessing me and making sure my vats are full and my barns. And Christianity is you becoming what you were created to be. You being restored back to the beginning apart from sin before the knowledge of good and evil. Where innocence is restored and purity is a reality. And love is who you are. That's Christianity, guys. Just every scripture points to this truth. And somehow we've made it beneficiary and self-serving. We've made the message all about us getting something from him instead of becoming like him. See, Jesus restored and paid for something to be restored that was lost. We always think he died because we're sinners. Well, he had to die because of sin, so sin cost him death. But he didn't die because you're a sinner. He died because you have destiny. Why would he die because you're a sinner? He died because you have purpose. He died to pay the price so you could be fruitful again. Come on. The cross of Christ doesn't point to your sin. It actually points to your value and your future. Guys, I preach this all the time. It's going to stick. If you keep sowing, you're going to get something. I just said it to a guy today at the picnic. Yeah, I don't care what the condition of the ground is. You keep putting corn in there. I don't care if it didn't sprout. I don't care if it should have sprouted by now. I don't care if it didn't sprout yet. You keep putting corn in the ground. Corn is coming up. Yeah. So you don't grow weary in well-doing in the kingdom of God as if a man just scatters seed. We better stop looking with our eyes and thinking with our mind, and let's just sow good things into the ground. Because if you sow, surely you're going to reap. Each seed after its own kind. That's why I'm so encouraged. They give me a microphone everywhere I go. And I just go as much as I can, as quick as I can. All I do is just sow seed. You say, well, I don't think they got it, brother. I sowed seed. Woohoo! If you don't sow, nothing gonna grow. But if you sow, the kingdom of God, what shall we liken it to? For what parable? What? For the kingdom of God is like a man sow a seed, a small one, the smallest of seed, a mustard seed. But when it is sown, it grows. See, I got the word on this thing, man. So if I sow it, guess what's coming? Ah! Isn't that all? You see what's wrong with me? I believe the gospel. My problem is I'm a believer. That's my problem. And it ain't the news. I ain't believing the wrong things. Believe in the gospel, because here's the deal. Even though Adam ate that tree, God didn't change. Man lost his identity. Man lost his purpose. Man lost his creative value. Everything he was a minute ago died. And watch this. He didn't just sin. It's not just about sin in the garden. He took on the nature of the enemy of God. He became like what was contrary and enmity to God. Be real with me. Is the devil selfish? Is he self-centered? Is he prideful? Is he mad? Is God love? Did God make man in his image? So God made man to love. Not need love. Be love. And the only reason we need it so bad is because we were cut off from the source through sin. So now we're trying to find love because we need love because we're not grafted in. So the goal of Christianity isn't just being loved by God. That's the start. No one loves God first, but you first see he first loved you. But the goal isn't just being loved by God. There's a lot of talk, God loves you, God loves you. Yes, he does. With the purpose of transforming you into the very same thing that sets you free. Making you like him. So here's the deal. Every one of us in this room can relate to this. I preach this stuff all the time. It's never redundant to me. We're going to get this if I keep preaching it. Somebody's going to get it. I've been saying lately when I preach, if half of you get half of what I'm saying, it'll make a difference in our spheres of influence. And that's not an arrogant comment. I'm just saying the Word of God is that powerful. And multiplication is beyond what we understand. Like this, everybody in this room has a sphere of influence. And if half of us get half of what we're saying, our sphere of influence will notice. And seeds will go into that influence. And things begin to shift and change. And instead of you trying to track people down to preach, they'll ask you questions. There's a difference between you saying, hey, get saved, and them saying, what must I do to be saved? There's a big difference. We've turned it into tracking everybody down, trying to get them saved. You read the book of Acts, them boys shined. They were separated. They were different. And people said, what must I do to be like what I see in you? That's evangelism. Love's very evangelistic. Without you carrying the burden of three steps and then wondering if it'll work. What happened to Adam was he became all about himself. When he followed the voice instead of God's, he took on the nature of God's enemy, and love got perverted into self-centeredness. What was love became selfish. Self-defending, self-protecting, self-justifying. He was asked how he knew he was naked. Did you eat the tree, Adam? He said, it was the woman you gave me. He's blame-shifting. If you, when they gave me the woman, I probably wouldn't have ate the tree. It's the first effect of sin in the Bible. A yes or no question. Did you eat the tree? Did you or didn't you? He couldn't say yes or he couldn't say no. He said, it was the woman you gave me, for she gave me to eat. It's justification. Self-justification. Self-defense. Watch. Love lays down its life for another, and sin already caused him to live at the expense of another. He's living at the expense of God and the woman in that question. He's blaming it on God or the woman. Don't look at me. Hey. If you wouldn't have gave me the woman, probably wouldn't have ate the tree. Work it out. You see? First effect of sin in Genesis 3. Here's this man, chock full of God, complete and full. God didn't say, oh, he's so lonely. Look at him moping. I'm going to make him a girl. It is just so weird. He looked at man and said, he's just like me. And just the way that I made him to express and multiply who I am, I'm going to bring forth a woman out of who he is. So he put the man into a sleep. He didn't make another lump of clay. He put the man into a sleep and reached into the fullness of God in the man. And brought forth a woman and made what was one, two, so two could enjoy being one. We've turned it into lust, one night stands, itches, scratches, lonely, hot, good looking, cut, chiseled, woo! We've turned it into a lot of things. Ain't getting any younger, like to have some kids, like to settle down. I'll tell you what they'll do. Just need somebody to love me. Just want somebody to care. We say all that in Adam. Trying to meet a need that only Jesus can fulfill. And from that fulfillment, only from that fulfillment, will you have true, healthy, godly, fulfilled relationship. It's just the truth. You think about it. From the time you were born, from the time you can remember, until maybe today. You're trying to survive, fit in, be liked, feel accepted, be appreciated, and you need the need, you have the need to be valued. And if those things aren't there, they crush your life. And you'll strive to get those things. You might even live at the expense of others to get those things on the surface just because we're living by their fumes. Come on. I've seen some people, they try to be obnoxious and outspoken in a crowd because when people laugh, it... And then they find their identity in being the jokester and funny and, hey, he's good to have around. Oh, good, I have purpose. All kinds of stuff like that. You could paint a lot of different pictures. The point is this. From the time we were born, we didn't know who we were. We were trying to find ourselves all along the way. Be honest, what a terrible ride for some of us. What a crazy ride. What an up and down ride. Some of us, look, you're in third grade and somebody laughs at what you're wearing. Third grade. And two other kids laugh on top of them and you become one of two things, a fighter or introverted. You either become hard or broken. What a lie. And all these things trying to tell you who you are when the truth is in Him. Your life is so worth living. Ecclesiastes says there's a time to be born. That He's the author and giver of life. I'm looking at you. You're here. You're born. You've been born. Yeah. There's a time to be born. This must be our time. Come on, you can let other things matter more if you choose. Well, yeah, but brother, well, I don't. Come on, the only reason we can get that hard thing going in our heart is because Adam ate that tree. Only thing we can bicker and all that stuff over and reason and rationalize. You say, well, God gave me my reasoning. No, He never gave you the ability to talk yourself out of Him. Amen. That's part of the lie too, friend. Well, God gave me common knowledge. He gave us common sense. No, no, no. He gave us Christ Jesus, and He's the wisdom of God for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It's there. Come on, you grew up with a language. You grew up with an attitude. You grew up with a general mindset. You and I did. We were homeschooled in the wrong home. We were trained by a lie. We were all born into Adam. And what Adam was lost. He did not know who he was anymore. He was separated from the Father, every man for himself. Come on. Jesus wants to get us back to that truth that's in the beginning. I don't know. I think about it, and it doesn't matter where it went wrong. But somewhere along the way, we just turned this thing into forgiveness and heaven someday, and hoping to get a better ride. Same motives, same attitudes, same reactions. Somehow we've gotten away with calling them all normal. But holy is the Lamb when we sing. Those things aren't normal. They're Adam. Every man was born into Adam. You must be born. Somehow we turned that into a prayer that takes me to heaven someday. Instead of a life transformed. Old things passed away. Behold, all things becoming new. Putting off the old man and his deeds and putting on Christ. Amen. Colossians 3 says, renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who made you. So I guess this gospel restores us back to the image. I guess we're beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Yay! Do you see Him? He is filled with Jesus. That guy is filled with God. Beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord and being transformed into His same image. From glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. What's the goal of the gospel? Transformation back to His image. The biggest lie is thinking that your former emotions, your former reasoning ability, your former life has anything to do with normal. There's no love in selfishness. There's no selfishness in love. God made man in His image. God made man to love. Man became bankrupt of love, became selfish. Love lays down its life. We've lived at the expense of. You see, well, I don't live at the expense. You just cop an attitude in a family of four for a day that puts pressure on the other three. You're living at their expense. You just make it all about you in that attitude. For I don't care if it's for 2 hours. You just cop an attitude and put pressure on the other three family members and force them to have to respond. That's called living at their expense. And you prove in that you don't know Him like we sing. Now, I'm not being mean. I'm just being real. We come and sing, it's all about Him, and through those things reveal, it's really still all about us. And if things don't go our way, we're going to prove it. And if you don't do me right, you're going to know. Well, if God took that agenda and that attitude for one day, we'd be without mercy. But yet we need it and want it. He said, you be merciful, for I am merciful, so you be merciful. Come on, He wasn't merciful, so we obtain mercy. It's so we're so touched by the beauty of it, we become the very thing. He didn't forgive you just so you can walk around forgiven. He forgave you so you can become the beauty of it. You can be so touched by who He is that who He is becomes our lives. And then we get caught up on doctrine and theory and debates and just common knowledge. And we want to just sit and talk the Bible all day. Argue our little differences and accomplish nothing. And in the end, have a hard heart. And maybe pride and presumption towards the other. You keep your little debates and your little skirmishes over doctrine. I'm going to walk in love and manifest Jesus. I just said, man. See, because you reveal what you know about Him by how you live in Him, not how you talk. Oh, knowledge puff you up. It's love that edifies. You can talk the God. Listen, you can talk Bible all day and know every scripture and find your identity in your ability to quote the word. And let that take the place of knowing Him. Because knowing Him's transforming your life. Some people in my life in the past 21 years that I've met that can quote the Bible way better than me have been some of the meanest people. And I'll address it when you ain't looking. I won't upstage them in front of you, but when you ain't looking, I'll talk to them about their disposition. I'll talk to them and say something like this. You know, it's a shame that you have such a knowledge that you spend so much time reading a book and you don't display Him even a bit in your nature. Don't think I haven't had those conversations. My nose ain't all bent up. My jawbones ain't broke. Because when you say those things from the right place, heaven goes with you. I'm telling you, when you say it just to be mean, you probably get popped. You say it just to shout them down, come on, you're missing the heart of God just the same. I tell you, if I really do love, it touches your heart in a certain way when you see that stuff and realize what's really going on. And the last thing they need is me to get alone and away from them and say to Pastor David, boy, did you see that? What a shame. They're this and they're that and wow. And talk about them. No, I'd try to get them alone and get them in a corner. Man, it's amazing how you spend time in the Word. It sounds like you've really read your Bible. Yeah, I teach this, I teach that. Blah, blah, blah. Trouble with these Christians is this, and the trouble with church is this. And you ever been around that? They become like God's fault-finding gift on the planet. You got to address that stuff. Because they don't even realize they're deceived. They think they're right. They don't even realize what it looks like. And then in the long run, it's not accomplishing anything. It's turning people away. You got to talk to folks about that stuff. Man, why would I take the time to talk about that? Just to make sure it's never you. Don't let anything take the place of knowing Him, guys. There's so many things we do as Christians that we run the risk of letting the Christian things we do take the place of knowing Him. When knowing Him is what changes my life. You can pastor, you can lead worship, you can serve in a ministry. You can let any of that stuff fill the gap of truly knowing Him. 1 John 4 says it this plain. Beloved, let us love one another. Why? Because love is of God. And everyone, not some, everyone who loveth is born of God and knows God. Watch. He who loveth not just doesn't know God. Didn't say you don't pastor. It didn't say you don't serve in the mission field. It didn't say you didn't feed the homeless. But I'll tell you what it did say. If you don't love, you don't know Him. It didn't even say you don't see your need for a Savior and didn't put your faith in the cross. You might see your need for a Savior and put your faith in the cross and never realize it's about becoming love. And if you don't have relationship, you'll be reduced to serving Him. And instead of being His bride, you'll be His concubine. And you'll brush against Him now and then. But you won't sleep in the bed. Oh, man. Whew, no, I'm stopping right there. You ain't called to be a concubine and just wait on the Lord. He ain't looking for a girlfriend. Come on. Many of us have been through those days. He ain't there to pick you up, flowers, and woo you in a movie and then an alley. He don't want to give you some experience. He wants to give you covenant. And He wants you to be His bride. He ain't looking for a girlfriend. He's looking for a wife. I'm serious. That's not strange talk. That's spiritual and it's powerful. Yay. You know what a concubine did, don't you? Waited on the king, served him, did all his details, and every once in a while got their name called for the night. Oh, my turn. Went and brushed against the king for a night. A year later, send me so-and-so. You know how many Christians live from moment to moment, from touch to touch? And in between, try to serve Him? Go to altar after altar, hoping He'd touch them again? And the whole time, they could have just been in love. The whole time when nobody was looking, they could have been with Him. See what's wrong with me? I'm a guy and I know what I'm talking about. I'm guilty of being with Him. That's another problem of mine. It's not strange talk. It's spiritual. It's fulfilling and it's complete. And all of a sudden I wake up in the morning and I know who I am in Him. Watch this. It's not wrong if you encourage me. Of course it's not. It's not wrong if you say, I appreciate you, Dan. It's not wrong. But I promise you, I don't ever need it. I'm not living for the next encouragement. I'm so encouraged, it's ridiculous. Because there's a truth in me that I'm loved by Him. So I got the best view of me I've ever had in my life through Him. So guess what I have of you now? The best view I've ever had of you. And all of a sudden, I don't need you to make me feel better or to meet my need or to cheer me on. All of a sudden, I'm finally free to do what the Scripture says, to love you. And that never has to get weird. Never has to have a twist to it and a catch to it in fine print. Well, brother, I protect myself. I don't want to let people. I got guard. I got to put up. I don't even know what you're talking about. There ain't nothing to hurt. Come as close as you want. I ain't got no fortress around me. He's my defense. He's my rock. That means the way he sees and the way he loves is what keeps me. He's not protecting me from you. It's not what it means. He doesn't see you as an enemy to me. Him being my defense is the way he sees you, he teaches me to see you. And that's my defense. Isn't that awesome? Lord, you got to protect me from them. Worse yet, you box yourself in and hedge yourself in with all kinds of walls and defenses and boundaries. Don't want to let people too close. I'm tired of getting hurt. Why don't we teach why you don't have to be hurt? Why do we have nonstop altar calls for the brokenhearted? Why don't we teach why your heart doesn't have to break? Come on, man. I promise you, Jesus will never go to a brokenhearted altar call to get his heart fixed because the world disowned him. Because he did all them nice things and they rejected him. And now he's got this spirit of rejection he needs cast out. I understand we need to deal with stuff sometimes, but it's because we believe the stuff. You actually believe you can be rejected. You're actually looking to men for your stability. Women, what I mean is people. You actually believe. If you actually believe you can be rejected, are you kidding me? Of course you're going to get rejected somewhere along. If you're touchy, you're going to be touched. And then you're going to say it's people's fault instead of your perspective. And you're going to pray that people don't ever touch you wrong instead of you becoming untouchable. Oh, I'm preaching right now. I hope you're hearing. Is this good? This is all right, ain't it, David? You gave me the mic. I got to preach good in your house. Are you guys all right? Yeah. Come on, this stuff calls you to truth. These are family meetings, man. These kind of meetings just keep you in what it's all about. I've just seen too many discouraged people that go to church. Come on. I'm not saying it's you. I'm saying don't ever let it be you again. Because it means that your eyes have been turned inward and you're a Christian for you. Not his great name and his kingdom. And all of a sudden you're waiting to catch a break and get a new hand and for your ducks to get in a row. Instead of become love and see through his eyes in the face of it all. Where does it say in the Bible that everybody around you has to like you and love you and be on page? Where does it say that everybody in your family has to believe what you believe? He said, if you only love those that love you, well, the Pharisees, the Gentiles, the tax collectors, the people that don't even have a covenant do as much. You know what he said in Matthew 5? He said, you say, or you have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, what's he doing? Changing the language we grew up by. Come on. That whole chapter. You say, but I say to you, you have heard it said, but I say to you, what's he doing? Changing the language you grew up by. That thing that you called normal and wisdom, it's called the way that seemeth right, always brings death. He's changing. He's taking you out of the wrong school and putting you into his. He said, look, I know you grew up thinking this and believing this, but this is the way it really is. Next paragraph. You know, I know you grew up hearing this and thinking this and believing, but this is the way it is. Now, look, I know you grew up thinking and hearing this, but this. He does it like 4 or 5 times in one chapter. But the last one he does is, you say, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemy. Pray for those who persecute you and give to those who would spitefully use you. Why? So that you would be sons of your Father in heaven. Do you see it's all in the living? It's all in your life lived. It's not your confession. It's not being part of Redemption House. It's Christ in you. I say this all the time. It's important to gather together. I wish we'd understand the value of a local church and the whole and stop fighting over because of all our differences. And, well, you don't need to go to church. Well, we did, Man, get connected with some folks that are on page and running well. Stay focused and run well with them. That's how simple you can keep it. Amen. But this is what I'm saying, and I said all that so you don't hear what I'm not saying. Going to church will never change the earth. Become in love, will. You can fill every church building this Sunday that was ever built by men to the max, every seat, and we'd call it some kind of how we'd call it a revival because everybody filled every church. Church services and church attendance will never change the earth. It's men becoming love. It's people following Jesus. It's people in their sphere of influence and in their families living like He lives. And loving like He loves. Is that fair? Is there any other pastors and leaders that would say that's a fair statement? Come on. Are we doing what we're doing just to have cool services and attract crowds? Or are we doing what we're doing to be transformed and live effective? So we can run well and run a race worthy of a prize. You hear? I get around pastors all the time, almost across the board. They're really sincere. They want to see change. They want to see their society, their community touched. They want to see Jesus make a difference. It's not because we're coming up with cool ideas to have cooler services where people want to fill the house. It's when you can convince them that when they go home tonight, their life's worth living. And when they wake up tomorrow, they're right and accepted in the Beloved. And there's blood speaking better things over their life. And they have access to the Father through the Son. And they have a day in front of them that can be anointed and Spirit-led and full of truth and purpose. If you could teach people that their whole reason for being is to pursue His image so that others see who He is in you, changes life. All of a sudden, you don't know how to get discouraged anymore. All of a sudden, you don't react in the flesh. All of a sudden, you start responding in the Spirit, and you start responding like God. And even when people are being unmerciful, you're still merciful. And when people are making war, somehow without being a pushover, you stand in the strength of peace. I'm just telling you, you don't get pulled in. You don't get caught up in the whole saga. You don't say, well, enough is enough. I couldn't take any more. Well, how much was I supposed to take? Well, I tried to forgive. Brother, you don't understand what they put me through. Come on. And all of a sudden you cop out and justify and get out of the race. And you make them greater than Him without even realizing. And all of a sudden they become the governing factor of your life, but you still sing He's Lord. And all of a sudden you are what you are because of them. Ooh. Yeah, that one's just settling a little. That's good. Y'all all right with that? Is that fair? Come on. So you got to let Him matter more. Seek ye first the... Come on, let's just believe that, guys. Let's just be believers. Seek ye first. You know what we do with that sometimes? We turn that into the power of God always, see? We say, your will be done on earth as in. We say, no cancer in heaven, so there's no cancer on earth. It gives us faith to pray for somebody with cancer. I get that. It's scriptural. It's okay to do that. I'm not correcting that. But His will be done on earth as in heaven. It has a lot to do with His heart, His nature, His disposition, His character. Is there frustration in heaven? Backbiting, bickering, discouragement, despair, jealousy, pride, competitive? Do you find any of that in heaven? Your will be done on... So is it possible to live free from offense, free from backbiting, free from pride? Is it possible? Is it possible to actually live by the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh? You think? I'll bet it is. I'll bet it's possible to have peace among us. It says, as much as possible as pertaining to you, As much as possible, pretend you have peace with all men. Some people refuse to have peace with you, but you can be at peace with all men. You don't have to take offense. You don't have to take things personal. You take the gospel personal. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And everything you need to walk this out will be given unto you. You guys all right? So how do I get there? How do I grow into that thing? You make sure you spend time alone. You muse on this stuff. You meditate on this stuff. You talk it out of your heart. You talk it to Him. You read the scriptures that you hear quoted like this, and you read them, and you commune them back to God, and you say yes. Pastor was saying it this morning. He just wants you to be willing. You just be sincere, and you be willing, and grace will begin to work. You get alone when nobody's looking. Lord, when I would try to stand before You, before I would just be aware of all the mistakes I've made and all the cycles in my life and all the ways You must feel. But God, I'm believing that was a lie. You're doing a work in me, and You can change me, and You've never stopped loving me, and You're for me, and You're not against me. And all of a sudden, you're crying the best tears you've ever cried. And all of a sudden, they're not crying tears of the fear of failure again, and here we go again. But all of a sudden, you're actually believing there's hope in Him, and there's change in Him, and He actually loves you. And while you were yet a sinner, He sent the Son, and He saw all things before they were done, and He still came and hung on that tree. Oh! It's time that you say yes to God's love for you. A lot of preachers are afraid of this kind of thing. They think it's empowering sin and helping people to continue to sin and claim something they haven't become. No, no, no. It's the goodness of God that leads men to change. It's not the reprimand of God. It's the goodness of God. So we can't be afraid to preach His goodness and think that we're empowering sin. Are you kidding me? If people really get the message, it'll diffuse sin. It'll take away the things of the flesh. Come on, I personally have not found a way to sin and get away with it. I've found a way to be free and to wake up every day and seek Him first and His righteousness. There's no sin consciousness in righteousness. I'm not waking up trying to live a better life and be a better Christian and not sin. I'm waking up His, accepted, washed, clean, free, and loved. And if I start there, I'll run well. If I become what He paid for, now I'm on the starting block. Anything else is trying to accomplish what He already did. Seek Him first, His kingdom, and all His righteousness. And all these things shall be added. Got to understand what it means to live righteous. Even in weakness, even in the human expression of weakness, even if you find yourself cycling, even if you're walking through the day and you built yourself up in the truth that morning and you literally, the presence of God embraced you and you were like, yeah. And halfway through the day, you found yourself in a conversation or a motive that was the same old thing from before. As soon as you see it, here's what you don't do. Oh man, there I go again. I'll never change. I don't know how God puts up with me. There I am, failure. Bah. D on the report card. That's what a lot of people do. No, when you see something like that, you know what you do? You see it and you go, wow. God, I am so thankful for the work You're doing in my life. You say, what? Yeah, You're causing me to see what I never saw before. God, You're causing me to see that for what it really is and separate from that. Man, 2 weeks ago, I'd have stayed on that thing for a whole nother day, and the next day would have been a given. God, You're delivering me. You're changing me. Truth is doing a work in me. All of a sudden, your hands are raised high, and you were just caught in the moment of weakness and expression of flesh, and all of a sudden, you're so spirit-minded, and you're doing like this, and the Holy Ghost is going, yeah, 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 they're getting it. They're believing. They're believers. Yay! Because you're saved by grace through... Man, you got to start believing something more than your perpetual failure. There's nothing to sculpt there. You got to start believing you have potential. That God's doing a work in you. That He's causing you to see what you never saw. That light is working in you. That truth is changing you. And all of a sudden your heart's sincere. And you're like, God, you're doing a work in me. Man, that is so not who I am. And Holy Spirit, you're amazing. You're my best friend. You caught me right in the middle of that and illuminated that thing to me. Man, I would have been stuck in that not long ago. Man, I would have let that gray me out. I'd have been using by 10 o'clock. God, no more. Because I'm yours and you love me. And I'm not for sale. I've been bought with a price. And I'm yours. And all of a sudden, ain't nobody around. It's just your heart communing with God. And Holy Spirit's embracing you. And you're like, you're really real. Man, this love ain't a fairy tale. You're bearing witness to me. I'm your child. And all of a sudden, your days of weakness are trampled by the gospel. All of a sudden, you're waking up. You ain't even trying to be strong. You just are right in him. That's how grace works, guys. If you're trying hard. I mean, thank God for your heart. But that's probably going to lead you to question yourself, judging yourself, and measuring yourself short. The biggest downfall to the purest people I've met is believing they're not living up to their pure desire and somehow failing God. It's the biggest trap to people that I see that are truly pure. They weigh their life to see if they're living up to the pure desire. And then they question their pure heart. You ever see that one? Don't do that to yourself. When you catch that thing in your life, by the grace of God, by the truth that's working in you, you jump out of that into him. Don't run from him and hide. Run to him and keep being changed. He did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. But that through the world, or through his son, the world might be saved. Did not send his son to condemn you. So let me ask you this. Is condemnation ever, ever God? It's never, ever, ever, ever God. So why would you live 30 seconds there if it's not him? Healthy conviction, healthy heart change. That's cool. Condemnation? Condemnation is saying you're worthy to be judged. It's never God. He said in John 12, I didn't come to judge you. But I came that you might be saved. You guys with me on that? I didn't come to judge you, but I came that you might be saved. John 12, but you'll have my word that'll judge you in that day. So what do we continue in? His word or our emotions? His word or our common logic? I promise you this, if you continue in his word, it'll align your emotions. And it'll align what we called common knowledge. And all of a sudden, you'll think different than you ever thought. And your emotions will respond according to truth, not self-centered stuff. Why else do you think Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him first deny himself? He never said, if any man come after me, let him pray a prayer so he can get his name in the book called life and he can go to heaven. It's not what he said. That's what we say. If any man come after me, let him first deny. Why? You were never made for you. Living for yourself is the biggest lie on the earth. It's a greater problem than others and the devil. Living for yourself is the total perversion of your created value, as you were created to love. And love doesn't think for itself. Read your Bible. Love doesn't think for itself. So it takes no record of wrong. Some of us have a pretty good record kept. Well, you don't know what they did to me. Well, how would you feel if they did that? Well, you don't know because that... Come on. And you guarantee every time you talk like that, tomorrow's yesterday. Until that perspective changes. Tomorrow's always yesterday. Come on, man. Come on. You know what's good about a message like this? It calls all of our hearts to truth. And you personally, apart from anybody else, have to decide what you're going to do with a fella like me talking like this. Yeah. You get mad at me. You can cop out and justify. Oh, yeah, he don't know. It ain't all that. You can yell butt me if you want. It's all your privilege. But the cool thing is, God in his love and mercy, he always puts the truth in your hand and says, what are you going to do with this gospel? And the just shall live by. Ain't that awesome? Man. I bet we can all be believers. I don't know how better to say this other than the only thing that keeps us believing most of the time. It's all wrapped and covered in a lot of the things. But it's thinking for ourselves rather than his kingdom. Because when you think for yourself, you got a lot of reasons to not be okay. When you think for his kingdom, you can only follow Jesus and you have none. No other reasons. On the night Jesus was betrayed, he cut covenant with God for man. On the night he was betrayed, his response to betrayal was give my life. On the night we're betrayed, we got to be careful we ain't crying, calling a friend, asking him for prayer. So we feel better. And then we tell him all the details and pray for that person that's so lost. And we feel all spiritual doing it. And Jesus ain't even in the conversation. Like, they did what to you? I can't believe they did that. You must be so broken. Come here. Let's pray. All you're doing is empowering them to be broken. Why don't you look at them and say, listen, I heard what you said they did, but I'm troubled. Why are you so broken? Because they did that. You're telling me, whoa, stop. You're taking this personal. Don't you let them decide who you are for a moment. What's the gospel have anything to do with what you're saying? You're internalizing one person's actions and you're a mess. Are you kidding me? You're so much more than that. I ain't even going to let you stay there. No, I ain't praying that you feel better. I'm praying you see clear and believe better. Because until that happens, you can't even pray for them. Because your heart's way over here. That is just a good word right there. Come on the night he was betrayed, the Bible tells us that stuff on purpose. On the night he's betrayed, he ain't betrayed. He just breaks the bread, passes it. They're all saying, we'll die for you. He already knew they weren't gonna. Come on. If that's any of us in leadership, if we're not careful, that's just another hurting minister that needs a sabbatical and a repair. Well, you know, ministry and pastor, and it just takes you, you know, it's people. You just can't trust people. I mean, you don't know. I mean, pastor would be awesome if it wasn't for the people. But I mean, I laid down my life. I gave them everything, and they just used me. I don't think I could ever get up and do it again. What gospel are you following? Do you do what you do so people appreciate you? Do you do what you do so they honor you? Or do you do what you do because you love and you actually believe they have the potential whether they receive it or not? It's called loving not your own life unto death and laying down your life for others. Come on, do you do it to get something back? Or you do it so they become. Come on, every minister in this place, everybody in leadership, you want to stay healthy, make sure your motive's healthy. Make sure your eye is single. Make sure you do what you do for the right reason. There's no scriptural basis for hurting ministers. We accommodate it constantly in the church. We build facilities to send them to because we expect pastors to get broken and weary. Wonder if we make that language foreign. And if it happens to somebody, we embrace them and love them and restore them. But let's stop expecting it. Let's stop thinking it's part of the cost. No, the cost is I gave up myself before I ever stepped in. So now I can't get in the way and you can't step on me because I'm not here. Do you understand? I didn't drive down here for me. I drove down here for the kingdom. And because I believe what I'm preaching and I believe you're part of that kingdom. Come on, if I drove down here for me, then I got some expectations. I got some things you need to reciprocate. I got some things you need to say. You got to stroke some stuff in my life. Come on, if Miss Kim's down, if she's here just so you see how gifted she is and, oh, you just flow. And she goes, really? Really? And then you say, you are just so amazing. What'd you say? You're so amazing. She heard you the first time. She's, Wouldn't that be weird? You think I came down here for me? You think I came here because they passed the basket this morning? You know better. I don't even have to be here. Like, I didn't come so you pay my bills next month. I ain't counting on you to make it happen for the Moeller family. Like, I could just have stayed home this weekend. I didn't have to come here. I'm not mandated. I'm here because I want to be. Because we have a relationship. He invites me. I said, let's do it on the 4th. So the last few years, we've been doing that. I'm here because I want to be. There's a such thing about pure motives that's so healthy. There's no failed expectations then. There's no disappointment because there's no other reason but love. So wonder if I actually believe you have a destiny. See, can I be raw with you for a sec? Like when this weekend's over tomorrow evening or whatever and I drive back home, life's going to go on for me. Same gospel, same Jesus. Wake up the same. Yay, yay, hoo-hoo. Nobody can do a thing about it. I've been like this for a while. And ain't nothing nobody can do about it. So life's going on for me. You can sit back and say, oh, that Dan, and he just this, and you can blog this, and post this, and tweet this. It don't change nothing. If I know him. But wonder if I actually believe you have the same calling. I wonder if I actually believe that if I come down here and take the time to invest and sow and co-labor with them and water on some things they already planted, now the mouths of two or more words are confirmed and established. I wonder if I believe that and understand that you have potential too. And wonder if I actually leave in purity and believe that your Monday can look more like Jesus than last Monday. Yeah? Wonder if that's actually why I go where I go. Wonder if it's not because we have a contract behind the scenes and he was supposed to pay for my gas and I marked my mileage. And oh, that just sounds really weird. But that stuff's out there. This ain't a career and this ain't a contract. This ain't a way of living. It's a calling. And I love him and I love people. Yeah? So it sounds like if that's the truth, I'm probably okay. No matter what you say or do, because it's not contingent on that. People say, have you ever been in atmospheres where they resisted you? I don't know. I don't even know if I'd notice. I don't know that I would. I'm not here to be received. I'm here to preach the gospel. That sure beats debriefing, playing the CD over, critiquing yourself and wondering if they liked you and calling David. You get any good reports? Do you think they liked me, bro? I don't even think about that stuff. I've been around folks. I had a friend once. He was listening to all his messages after preach. He'd be a mess. Should have done this. Should have said this. Why didn't I do that? I'm like, what are you doing, dude? You're putting yourself through torture. Why don't you just fall before God and get up and believe his words are going to come out of your mouth. And when the smoke clears, just trust it was heaven. And if somebody that loves you comes and helps you and adjusts them, fine. But being your own worst enemy and watching your own it would be weird to watch me preaching on a DVD. I'd be like, people say, I watch you on YouTube. Okay, well, they say, I would never drive that far to hear me preach. I drove 10 hours just to hear you preach. I think, man, I hope this is good. I would never drive 10 hours to hear me preach. Just turn on YouTube. Save the gas. I've tried to say it this way my whole life. You're never out to impress anybody. That would be pressure. The truth is you're impressed. Did you get that? When you get so impressed by him, you'll find you live your life impressive without trying to be. You become the thing you love, that thing you honor. Do you ever notice when people hang out, they say, man, I listened to Todd. Oh my gosh, I listened to Todd and all this time. And then I finally found out you were like his mentor. And then I listened to you and I thought, at first I said, that guy sounds just like Todd. And then they went, wait a minute, he's his mentor. Todd sounds like him. And then they try to get that thing straight, right? But the bottom line truth is this, when you honor something and give yourself to something you honor, you start becoming, you start receiving and gleaning from that thing, and you start mannerisms and expressions and things, and then Todd just totally loves and honors me. He's so humbled. He's all over the world. He's all over his area. He'll call me and he'll say, I just love you, dude. Sometimes he'll call me, he just cries all the time. Todd just crying, blubbering mess. He's calling, he'll say, hey, buddy, I just love you, man. You just don't understand, like you don't know, man. And I'm like, yeah, I do get it. Thanks. I'm glad you... No, dude, you don't understand. He's like, you gave me the gospel. See, he's been around now. He realizes there's a lot of other stuff out there. And he's like, dude, this is all I can see. This is all I'm going to live. He says, just thank you, man. Thank you for Jesus. And I'm like, well, sure, my privilege. I labored to give you Jesus. Just enjoyed living him. But I noticed that when I watch him preach, it makes me laugh. He says things verbatim that I've said for years. He'll say one-liners word for word. Just like it's coming out of his own heart, because it's his. So he's not a parrot. It's his revelation. Same authority, same power to impart. Word for word. It makes me laugh. It's like watching me preach with dread. It's just hilarious. Huh? No. He told the whole thing like it was his. Yeah. I watched a video. He was overseas when he preached that, I think. And he preached a story about a vision of swimming up Mother's Canal and the whole thing. And it was my vision from prayer. And he's telling in another country like it was his vision. And the people are just howling and wah! And then he would come to me and he'd say, dude, people are going crazy, man. They're like saying, I never heard anything like this. And your preaching's amazing. I just laugh. I said, it is amazing. Don't get me wrong. He's got a lot of his own revelations and stuff over the years. But he's telling stories that I've told verbatim. Why is he doing that? Because of the honor and the respect of who he sees Jesus to be in my life. I don't usually talk this way. I don't know. I guess it's okay. He cries and he says, dude, all I've ever seen out of you is Jesus. I've rode with you, walked with you, been with you through all kinds of stuff. He said, when you speak, I hear him. Listen, guys, I'm not saying that to boast on me. I'm saying that's the resume we all want with our friends. Not, I need you, be there for me. No. Become more like him and be an example all around you. Don't need people. Love people. Make sure your I love you isn't I need you in disguise. Oh, I just love you. You love me? See, that's twisted. What you're saying is I love you for me. I'm glad you're in my life for my sake. Don't ever pull out on me. I don't know what I'd do. Don't get reduced to that. Don't turn I love you into I need you. You say, how do I know the difference? Love takes no record of wrong. If you got a record, it's not love. It's failed need. We okay? Come on, if you got a record, it's not love. Totally. Absolutely, my brother. Good question. He said, does this apply to marriages? Probably. He said it's so serious too. I mean, I really took it as a question. Let me tell you how it works in marriages, because you're living every day together. Remember that note? When you see weaknesses, flaws, things that could be changed, you don't take a record of them. When you see your spouse living outside of Christ, then in that place they need him more. He's in you. Now's not the time to be frustrated. It's time to be like him. Because when you're frustrated, you prove you need them to be a certain way for you to be okay. You're okay in him. You're in your highest place loving, not needing. Isn't that just good? Come on, that's good. It's healthy. I'm getting away from her. She scares me every time I come down here. And there's nowhere to go. I just can't stop. Don't you get fired up yet. She gets that look. She's I'm surrounded. No, it's all good. I tried to get away from you and I found Tracy over there, so I had to come back. I'm safer over here. I can even touch you. Oh, look at that. It's so good. I'm not touching you. I love you, Miss Tracy. No, it is true. And our response from birth because of the fall is frustrated, discouraged. How long am I supposed to put up with this? I can't take this anymore. Pray for me, brother, for strength, because if they don't change soon, I ain't going to be able to. That's rubbish. That's lies from hell. That's hell's language. That's you feeling sorry for yourself. You having reason to be in the flesh. You putting the pressure and mandate on others to be what you need them to be for you to be okay. It's actually forms of control, manipulation, self-centeredness. And we say, well, no, marriage is 50-50. It's a lot of work. No, marriage is I love you. Here's my life. All that is mine is yours. Yeah? Come on, if this wasn't true, Then how will we get through situations? How will we get through something if somebody starts believing wrong? Somebody goes through a little deception moment. What if somebody just gets candid and slanted a little, gives himself to weakness, goes through an emotional crisis and doesn't get a grip? What, so now all of a sudden we're ruled by what they're not? I thought Jesus is Lord. Guys, I thought he's greater. I thought there's victory in him. Somehow we got the twisted idea that all those songs mean that everything's going to go great for us and we'll never be challenged. I've said it for a lot of years. I'm not a Christian for a better day. I'm a Christian to be like him in this one. You guys good? I don't know what we did today, but we covered some stuff. I know what we did. See, and if you want, you can listen to the, you can listen to this message for your spouse if you want, but that's a sure sign I'm talking to you. Don't we do this, man? Don't we listen for one another? Don't we sit there and go, boy, I hope she's listening. God. Oh, we're ready to go break out in tongues because we're like, God, you're speaking to him. Yes, Shabba, Shabba. You know? Or you can't even, you're fighting back your elbow because every time I'm speaking, you just want to give them the little love tap. Let them know that, I hope you're listening. He's talking to you. No, that's a sign I'm talking to you. Don't listen for each other. We are funny people sometimes, man. We're sitting there, we're like, man, thank you, Jesus. You're answering all my prayers. He's reading her mail. He's preaching her stuff. Oh, and he said, like, why is she in her purse now? What's she do? You spirit of distraction? Get off of her. All of a sudden, she's getting out a piece of gum. You foul lying spirit. You distractive spirit. Loose my wife. Loose her in Jesus' name. Shuck it up. And the whole time, you're a million miles away, missing the whole point. And you think she's being distracted by some spirit because your eyes are fixed on her because you're letting her decide how you're doing. But you're singing, it's all about him, but it's all about her. And all of a sudden you're reduced to only being as okay as she's doing you. Instead of as okay as he is in you. Christ in you. Hope of glory. See why it pertains to marriages. Remember what marriage was in the beginning? Woman coming out of the fullness of God in man. Not man and woman coming together because of needs and lusts and wants and desires. I say to people all the time, just to challenge things, I say, I've always said if there's a woman in a man's life, it ought to be because of the fullness of God in the man. Not looks, money, prestige, need, time frames, age, attraction, affection. Out of the fullness of who God is in a man, I bet he's ready for a covenant. So that means the woman has the created value by God to be loved by God through the man and fulfilled in the love of God in that relationship and reciprocate that thing back and reproduce the image of God. When he reached into the man and brought out the woman, he looked at that thing called man and woman and said, whoa. He blessed it and he said, be fruitful. Why? We think of having kids right away. We just think, sex, kids. What's the whole thing about? His image. The whole thing's about his image, and there's none comparable. There's none comparable to the man. There's nowhere for the man to go from here. There's no outlet for love. There's no place to manifest. So he reaches into man and brings out a woman, and when he looks and sees the two one, flesh of flesh, bone of bone, woman, right? He says, be fruitful, multiply. What's he talking about? Have a bunch of kids? Multiply the image, of course, in having children. But the whole purpose and goal to multiply is to cover the earth with his glory and manifest the image. You know what we've done through the fall? We've let children take the place of it. Our identity's wrapped in our kids. Parents only as good as the kids are doing. Finding pride in the kids. Failure, success, pressure on the kids to fulfill the dreams of their parents. All kinds of stuff's happening. In the church. Mothers condemned because their child's in jail. And if I'd have been a better mother, they wouldn't be there. But they're 35 making choices. I've seen it, man. It's all twisted up. And we're finding our identity through so many other things. Failing to receive mercy and let God set things straight and just put our hearts on course and go after Him. Come on. I got to quit. Yeah, I do. So we'll be back. 7. I don't know how I can do this. I feel so turned on right now. I tell people I never land. I just stop. You know how this thing looks like I could land an airplane with this thing? I'm glad he helped me. He said, put it down here on your chin. I can't see it now. It doesn't even feel big when you're wearing it. But when I saw it, it looked like I could land an airplane with this thing. I feel like a control tower. But I joke and laugh. I said, never in my life preaching have I heard the control tower say, okay, Dan, bring it in. Never. I've never heard the Lord tell me to land. It's like even if I see the runway, I just never hear the land. I'll just keep starting, flying. You say, don't you run out of gas? No, that's not going to happen. But I've never heard Him tell me to land. So we just fly. So I know how to take off and fly, so we'll just stop and we'll pick up 7 o'clock. I still know how to land, man. I need help. Somebody says, well, you need to learn how to wrap it up. I don't know what you're even talking about. I mean, I have an idea what you're suggesting. You know, service structure, ministry, the flow. Ease in, get a little piano behind you. You know what I've actually found out over the years? In a lot of cases, we're so geared to minister at the end that a lot of times the ministry takes your eyes off of everything He's saying. Because we get back into crying and I don't and I need prayer because and all of a sudden we're ministry crazy and we think ministry's going to make us free when all the while it was truth. There's a place for ministry. There's a place for praying for each other. People come up and say, hey, I just need you to pray for me. It's been so hard in my family. And it sounds like a legitimate request. Most of the time, it's not a prayer issue. It's a truth issue. It's you wrapping truth around the situation. See, I've been just fighting with anger. I've been fighting and anger just coming on me. I don't want to just pray that spirit of anger get off of me. And most auto ministers be saying, okay, fire. Fire. You're serious? Poof. And then 2 days later, rah! They go, I don't know, I just need delivered. No, it says you yourself are to put off anger. It's not a prayer issue. It's a truth issue. You're not created for anger. You're not created to live for yourself in such a way that you become angry because of other things and things that don't go your way. No, you yourself get a grip on that and go, whoa, wait a minute. Whoa, the whole world doesn't revolve around me and I don't have all these expectations on people where they have to satisfy me. Wait a minute. I don't need to be right and make people wrong. Stop. Come out of your own little world and get into His. Put off anger. And put on Him. So you get alone with God in prayer. Father, I thank you. I just give up this whole right to be angry, this crazy thing that tries to come on me. I am not an angry man. I'm not an angry woman. God, I don't need to be right in anybody's life, and I don't need people to do the right thing to please me. The world doesn't revolve around me. Man, you're the center of my life and my heart. And you're the truth that rules this earth, and I thank you the truth's working in me. I put off anger. God, I put on your tender mercies and loving kindness and Holy Spirit. I thank you that you're doing such a work in my heart and eyes and you're changing the way I see and the way I live. You're amazing. That's called prayer. It's called communion and union with God. You don't run to an altar, lay hands on me and anoint me and get all this stuff off me all the time. No, get alone and be with Him. Address it. Wrap truth around it and let grace make it yours. Yeah? You're saved by grace through faith. You apply faith to the truth and let the truth become your reality through grace. And all of a sudden, you're not trying to be okay. You just are. And you'll never get a medal or an award. He'll get all the glory because you are what you are by the grace of God. Isn't that awesome? That's how it works. We're a lot of self-made Christians, and we all need a trophy someday or something. You know, super Christian capes or something. I don't know. You know, so, wow, look, they got the cape, man. Whoa. Wish I'd have believed I'd have got a cape. I'm messing up now. I better land. You guys all right? I want you to give yourself to him, okay? Like never before, I want you to take these words to heart. Man, don't let this just be an interesting, intriguing, or a good sermon to you. I pray that they become words of life and things you live by and apply to your heart every day in communion and fellowship with God. Above all the things I've shared, talk to him every day and let these things be the things you live by. We say it all the time. All the time when we were back home, even John probably remembers this, doing our weekly meetings and stuff, something I've said all along the way. If what you're thinking, what you're processing and believing, if it isn't encouraging you and producing life and building you up, it's not the Lord. What you're meditating on, where your mind's camping, if it's not bringing life and encouragement into your heart, it's not Jesus. You're thinking wrong, you're thinking mundane, you're just believing even subtle lies. If it's not producing life and not encouraging your heart, you're not thinking in agreement with the truth. Because he gives you life and life even more. And that's not a hallelujah, amen, Sunday thing. That's an everyday reality in him. You guys with me? Yeah. I'm not going to do any ministry stuff now. We're going to do something at 7 that I know we're going to do. We're not going to take the time to do it now. I feel like I need to just release you guys. But I do want you to do this with me if you could. We're going to pray for all the sick here in a little. I'm going to teach on something, though. I need some time to do it. Now's not the time. And we'll see some neat things in this room, but I want to encourage you to continue to believe for what he paid for. And don't let somebody that didn't get healed decide what you believe. You keep looking to Jesus' life, and that's where you'll find your belief. Okay? You keep looking to Jesus' life. You don't say, well, I prayed for my aunt, and they died, so now God, no, stop. God, back up. And no one's seen God at any time, but God has declared himself through his Son. If you can't see it through Jesus, you're not seeing the Father clear. You got to see it through Jesus. And if you see it through Jesus, it's a truth worth going for. You can't change the Word of God because of your experience when it's already settled. So we're going to grow up into him in all things. We're not going to be proud. We're not going to be contentious and debating. We're not going to love our own lives. We're not going to take it so to heart and get so sentimental with things that we get offended because of a loved one or a loss. Come on, if it wasn't for God, we'd have no life in the first place. God never gave us loved ones and family at the cost of who he is. He gave them to us in light of who he is. So even if we unfortunately lost a loved one through sickness, don't change what you believe about healing. You look to Jesus' life and find your truth there. And if you can't see the experience you had in his life, then don't let it into your belief system that's follow him. You follow me? We say a lot of things about healing Jesus never said. And we came up with them because they make us feel better about what we feel troubled over, but they're at the cost of truth, and truth's what makes us free. So now we got ceilings over our head, and we still want healing, but we don't know what to believe about it because of this, that, and the other. We got to get back to a single eye and back to Jesus. I'll talk about it a little later, okay? Would you stand to your feet with me, please? Please, if you will. As I pray, I just want you to, from your heart, don't just religiously, rhetorically let me pray, because I won't pray from that place anyway. I mean, don't you just stand there and listen and say amen. What I want you to do as I'm praying is personally, I'm challenging you, encouraging you to do this. Not challenge you in a bad way. Come to God and tell him you're all in and you want these truths in your life. And you ask why I'm praying. You ask Holy Spirit to begin to work with you daily to keep you in this truth. Would you do that while I'm praying? And let's just believe God for grace that changes us without us striving and struggling and feeling like we're failing. Who would say that's a good thing? You want that kind of grace? So participate when I pray. And get before the Lord in your heart right now and make contact with him and just tell him, man, I want to become love. Teach me to give up all my rights. I don't want to live in something counterproductive or opposite of who you are. And when men see my life, I so want them to see you without striving and struggling. Thank you for changing me. I receive this word and I thank you it's doing a work in me. Don't ever come to God based on where you're not. Come to God based on where you're growing and where you're going. Don't be a troubleshooter. Be an answer conscious person. Come to God and begin to thank him for what he's doing in your life. Because if you're aware of it, you ought to rejoice. Amen. So, Father, I thank you for this room of people. I thank you, God, for what you're doing in us. I thank you for grace working effectually. Go ahead, man. Pray to him. Give yourself to him. Commit yourself to him. Talk to Holy Spirit. Come on. If you're not used to having relationship with him, now would be a good, healthy time to start. Nobody's watching. We're all doing it ourselves. So talk to him. Commune. Thank Holy Spirit that every day he'll remind you of these things. That every day you trust he'll work these truths into your life. Father, I just thank you that you're molding us and shaping us into love. I thank you that you're transforming us into your image. I thank you it's not just Sunday talk. It's not just a message. It's not just the new language out there in the church. It's a reality that grace is backing. It's a reality that you're causing us to become as we yield ourselves to you. We're denying ourselves, picking up our cross. We're following you. The world is looking for Jesus and doesn't even realize it, and he's in us. And I thank you, God, you're making him much more visible than ever before. God, you're causing us to look like your sons and daughters. You're causing us to shine like you shine. Thank you for the grace in us. I pray that everyone in this room would run greater and more solid and more steady than they've ever run before. I pray that this message would come and add to everything that these leaders have imparted. I pray that there'd be a confirming of voices today. I pray that you'd cause things that were sown to grow by the watering today and even cause new things to be sown and watered, God, and bring more increase to our lives. But I pray that above all these things, we would begin to love like never before. Stay encouraged and never look back. Never look back. I've been saying it for years. We're not Lot's wife. We're his. Never look back. We look up from whence comes our help. So, Father, teach us to move forward and look forward and live forward and rejoice and be glad we believed in that day. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead.
You're good. Praise God. We'll see you at 7 o'clock.
I
do want you guys to know that this stuff that he's preaching has been well tested. If you've heard some of his videos, you know, like his, you know, he's struggled in all the same areas that you could say, well, you don't know what I've been through. I got to hear some really good tapes on what he has been through. And some of us wouldn't have been able to take that. And so it's tried and tested. And so you just put your trust in the word of God. Come back tonight hungry. If God puts anybody on your heart, reach out to them. Let them know that there's freedom in the place. Amen. Love on somebody as you go. Blessings from the Lord.